Some of us remember a time before the supermarket chains, before Tesco and Asda and Lidl and Sainsbury's. And our groceries were obtained at the local shop or possibly delivered to us by the local shopkeeper. In our street, there were several different vans which came around every week, bread vans, and we waited eagerly for the bread man to come, and he delivered to our house the bread we needed for the next couple of days. Bread is an essential part of our diet, and if he had not come, we would have missed him greatly. The petition we look at this evening as we continue through our study in the Lord's Prayer is that fourth petition: give us this day our daily bread. It comes after, immediately after, the other opening and glorious requests. And as we've noticed, they have been taken up with God's glory and greatness. We've been praying that his name be honoured in the world, that his kingdom come, and that his will be done among men. And then this request comes for bread. It seems a very abrupt change from the loftiest heights to something very, very ordinary. Bread. So abrupt this change that in the past some people have found it hard to accept that this request actually is about bread. That it's about the bread you make with flour and bake in the oven. And they've said, is this surely not about spiritual bread? About the Word of God? Don't our Bible readings come with the title Daily Bread? Perhaps it's about the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread. Jesus said, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And certainly we need to feed our souls. We need that spiritual food. Otherwise, we'll become feeble. We'll be exposed to all the spiritual diseases that are out there in the world. One writer has said, if we have all the food in the world, but we do not have Christ, we will ultimately starve. And that is absolutely right. And in a way, we can see that happening around us in these affluent days. There's no shortage of food, and yet many are starving in their souls. So there is a great need for spiritual food and nourishment. But this petition is about bread. It is about the bread we eat, the bread that's made with flour and baked in the oven. And when our Lord directs us to pray for bread, he is, of course, directing us to pray for more than bread. For the other necessities of life, for all the things that are required to preserve life in this world. Food, yes, health, weather, work to do, shelter to cover us. What the Catechism calls a competent portion of the good things of this life. Isn't it really, really encouraging that it is God's will that we bring to him our need of the ordinary things, that our Heavenly Father calls us to bring the ordinary things to his throne of grace. Later on in chapter 6 of Matthew, where the Lord's Prayer is given to us, Jesus says, our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. And he calls you to pray for them. are practical, personal, down to earth, day by day things are important to him. They are important to him, and we are to ask him for them. Isn't that good? Let's then look at this petition, and there are several things in it which we learn. As we pray, give us today our daily bread, we are acknowledging our dependence on God. When Satan tempted Eve in the garden, he said, "You shall be as gods." And there are many things that he was implying in that, but one of them was surely, you'll become independent. You'll need no other higher authority than your own. You'll have need for no one else. And ever since Eve fell to that temptation, people have tried to assert their independence. But this petition strips away that foolish pretense. It reminds us that we are dependent on God for all the things necessary to keep us alive in this world. Modern man does not believe that. He gets into his car. He drives to the supermarket. He walks up and down between aisles that are laden with enough food to feed an army. He can vary his diet from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday. He doesn't have to eat the same thing 2 days in a row. Does he like strawberries and this is not the strawberry season? Well, Tesco's fly them in from somewhere where it is the strawberry season. Does he not like white bread? Well, there are 20 other varieties that he can choose from. We live with the assumption that everything is always available. Don't we need this petition? We need to remember our total and our daily dependence on God. If he withheld the rain, the sunshine, caused the temperature to drop, caused the transport system to be disrupted, what a shortage would suddenly come. What a lack of essentials. This petition reminds us that men are not independent. Paul stood before a very sophisticated gathering of people in the great city of Athens, and he reminded them of that. He himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything, daily bread. We depend on him for all we have. Not only to provide it, but as the Catechism wisely says, to bless it to us. Because it tells us when we're praying, give us today our daily bread, we're asking not only for that competent portion of the good things of this life, but that we will enjoy his blessing with them. If the Lord does not bless those things to us, they will do us no good. Many of us probably grew up hearing a simple prayer at mealtimes, which included the words, "Bless this food to our use." Do you remember that? That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Because without that blessing, it will do us no good. Give us today our daily bread and grant with it your blessing. Otherwise we'll waste it. Otherwise we won't benefit from it. Otherwise we'll misuse it. God provides and blesses to us what he provides. But he provides for us through means. So the crops have to be planted and harvested. And we depend on God to enable us to work and to purchase the things that are necessary. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, you remember, and warned the people there against laziness. Such persons, he said, we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus to do their work quietly and to eat their own bread. Through work and obtaining legitimate income, God provides. Maybe that's where we get our phrase for the person who does that, and we call him the bread winner. This petition, you see, is asking the Lord for strength to work and for the provision of employment. That's part of this prayer. That's part of what we're asking, that he will provide us and bless us and enable us to work to obtain what we need. And I know this evening, as we've been praying before we come into our service, we've been praying for people in the congregation who are seeking that employment. This petition encourages you to know that this is an area of life concerning which the Lord is concerned for you. And we pray for one another in this. In faith, we pray without becoming anxious. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Give us today our daily bread. We're praying for our necessities, not, of course, for our luxuries. So this petition reminds us that we depend upon God. Secondly, in this petition, we give thanks for the kindness of God. Everything we have comes from him. Every good gift, James says, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. In great kindness, God provides us with everything we need day by day. You know the psalm which says, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging bread. So this petition directs us to be thankful for God's kindness, that he provides us with everything we need, and that he does that with great wisdom. Always providing what is sufficient. Some receive more than others, as we saw in our reading regarding the manna. And still that's true, and that's wise. You see, some of us could not cope with being wealthy. There's an old saying which goes, it takes a steady hand to carry a full cup. And some of us don't have a steady hand. And if we were prosperous, we might find it a perilous thing which spiritually harmed us. But others are able to handle wealth in a godly way. We give thanks for them. And there are many stories of Christians down the years who have been blessed with wealth and are able to use it in a godly way, starting with Abraham and other men in Scripture and others ever since. This petition reminds us to be thankful for God's blessing. Grateful not only for the gifts, but for the one who gives them. When you sit to eat your daily bread, pause and give thanks to God. It sounds very simple. It sounds obvious, but it is an expression of our gratitude for his provision. In private, in public, when you're with others, when you're on your own, bow and give thanks. He has provided you with what you have. This was the practice, you know, of our Savior in the presence of the 5,000, we're told. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and gave thanks. It was the practice of Paul out in the sea in a storm. The ship was lurching about in a terrible storm, and nobody was eating anything. And Paul said, you'll have to eat. If you don't eat, you'll perish. And he took bread And in the presence of all of them, we're told, he broke it and, giving thanks to God, began to eat. And there's that lovely scene at the end of John's Gospel. Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and coming in, the disciples in their boat. And they've been out all night, and they haven't anything to show for it. And they're weary. And from the shore he calls to them and he says, cast your nets on the other side. And they do, they obey, although they don't know who is giving them the command, but they do obey the command. And they haul in their nets with a great load of fish, we're told, so much that the nets were likely to break, 153 large fish. And they pulled them to the shore. And when they got there, this is what we read in John's Gospel. When they got out of the boat, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. You're tired and you're hungry. The risen Lord is about to send these men on a great mission to proclaim his kingdom in all the earth and to advance his kingdom. But at this point, he says, come and have breakfast. That's what you need. Give us today our daily bread. We give thanks for God's kindness. Thirdly, we express contentment with God's provision. Long ago, there was a man called Agur, and he prayed about his daily bread. And the way he prayed is a challenge to all of us. And the way he prayed sounds very, very unusual in an age like ours, because he prays as a contented man. Here's how he prayed. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me. Lots of people would agree with the first petition. I don't want to be poor. But very few people would agree with the second petition. I don't want to be rich. Contentment is a rare thing. Maybe you've heard the story of the granddad who was looking after his grandson one day. It was a day like this. It was nice and hot and sunny, and he decided that it would be a treat if he was to go to the fridge and give his little grandson some ice cream. So he went with him to the fridge, and they opened the fridge, and granddad began to get the ice cream out. And he said to his little grandson, now, ice cream's a lovely thing, but you wouldn't want to eat too much of it, so we'll just take enough for you and me. And his little grandson looked at him and he said, granddad, I don't want enough. I want too much. And that sounds a bit like us. Rockefeller, once the richest man in America, was asked, how much money do you need? And his reply was, apparently, just a little bit more. How difficult it is to be content. The pressure is on us. It's inside us. But it's also around us. What a great testimony if we live with a spirit of contentment. If we're never heard complaining about the price of things and how bread is 20% more expensive this year than last year, about how we have to cut back and we can't have as many chocolate biscuits. What a testimony if we're not heard complaining. Paul says, if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Do we have food and clothing? Are we content with how much we have? you ever find yourself indulging in a seemingly harmless daydream? I wish I could afford one of those. I wish I could shop there. I wish I'd invested in that. You see, it may not be a harmless daydream. It may be discontent. And this prayer says, give us today our daily bread, the things that are needful. We're asking the Lord to provide what He knows we need, and how much He knows is good for us to have, and what would be too much for us to have. Well, Agar prayed like a contented man. And this is how his prayer concluded. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but only what is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? In case, he says, I think I'm independent. Lest also I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Because we have just been praying, hallowed be your name. This prayer is one in which we acknowledge our dependence on God. We express our gratitude to God. We are content with the provision God makes. And finally, in this prayer, we are saying that we will use all that God gives us wisely. Those necessities are His daily provision: food and clothing, warmth and home, health and work to do. How are we to use them? You see, when you pray for your daily bread, it's never, ever to be in a self-centered way. Remember how James warns us against that? You ask, he says, and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. We must, it has been said, desire temporal things for spiritual ends. We ask for the things we need to live so that we can live for God. Aim at heaven while praying for earth, says Thomas Watson. There are no compartments, no bits that are cut off from one another. You can't say, well, this is all about material things and this is spiritual, and there's no connection. Yes, there is. It's all connected. And this prayer is all connected. And last week we thought of the petition which says, your will be done. Then give us today our daily bread. What is your will for the way I use what's been given? Jesus has given us this clear direction. Give us today our daily bread. Not give me today my daily bread. As we pray, we're to look out beyond ourselves, concerned not only for our own needs, but the needs of others too. God gives us everything we need and more, so that we will not only have enough, but plenty to share and give cheerfully. Whenever King David had directed the people to contribute for the building of the temple, he led them in a great communal act of worship and prayer. And as he thought about all they had brought and contributed for the building, he prayed, who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer freely? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. All things come from you. That's why we have them. And that's why we can use them. And that's why we contribute them. All things come from you. That's why we pray. Give us today our daily bread. All things come from you. Not to people who deserve them. Not to people who have a right to expect them. Because we do not. But all things come from you. To us. Because they have been purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mediator of the covenant. And through him, every blessing comes to us. We do not deserve any of them. But his merit secures them for us. Wasn't it a pity that some people thought this petition was not really about ordinary bread? And that they thought it must be more spiritual than that. What could be more spiritual than to receive the good things that God provides for us, the necessities of every life, every everyday life, and to say, these have come to me not because I deserve them, but because Jesus has purchased them for me. And with every other blessing, these things are his blessing to you. So when you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. Amen.